For being here. It's a honor and a privilege and a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to see you in the Lord's house this morning. I'll tell you what, while we are meeting together, if you want to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, and I'm going to try to sort of pick up from where we left off last Sunday and see if I can finish this outline. We just got through one of our points last week, so I think we'll finish it up today. In fact, we might finish it up and get you out of here just a little early and let you fellowship. But it's good to see you today. Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall day the Lord's given to us. And anyway, we thank the Lord and praise the Lord for that. Is everybody doing all right? Everybody doing good? Everybody saved? Amen? Everybody looking up? Boy, God changed my direction early this morning. And you'll hear about that in just a little bit, and so I hope it will. Hope it'll be a help to some folks today. But we're glad you're here this morning. We did pass out a handout today, and so there is a place on the bottom portion of the handout there. If you have a special prayer request, you can write your prayer request down there, and we'll try to make those a matter of prayer and pray over your prayer request and things like that. And it's good to see some of our folks that have been under the weather. It's good to see you back, and I hope you're doing good. We had a good meeting on Thursday night. Choir did so good. Man, so proud of the choir. Did a good job. We had a good showing, a good crowd, and good service. Boy, good service down there. Amen. And choir, thank y'all for coming, ministering, and doing a good job. I was so thankful to be associated with Calvary Baptist Church. And so we were thankful for what the Lord did there. And then thank you for praying for Miss Tammy and I. We were involved in a marriage seminar yesterday and Friday and yesterday. And so then rolling in here today, and we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord's house this morning. How many of you have a special request of prayer, and you'd signify that by an uplifted hand today? A lot of hands, if not almost every hand today. It's good to see Brother Ronnie and Miss Janice back today. And we thank the Lord that he's come through the treatments well. And amen. Well, it's just good to be saved, and it's good to see you today. Well, let's go to the Lord. How many are keeping your eyes on the news right now?
Amen.
Yeah. And I know you have to be careful about watching the news. You have to guard your spirit nowadays. And so we've downgraded our news diet dramatically. Of course, Miss Tammy never cared about the news to begin with. But anyway, I try to watch it, you know, just keep caught up with things that are going on. But even that, I've tried to really, you know, monitor the amount of time that I'm watching the news nowadays. So much of it is negative, and a lot of it's not true. And but boy, there's definitely some things that are going on in the news right now that ought to interest the child of God. And so let's pray. And as we pray this morning, let's pray for the peace of Israel, and let's pray for the coming of the Lord. Amen. It'd be great if the Lord just decided to come on back today. That'd be good. That'd be a great thing. And I hope that that happens. And so I hope that you're ready to meet the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll jump into our Bibles today. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the privilege to be back at Calvary. And Father, we thank you for all that you've done this week. Wonderful service on Wednesday night, and we'll address that here in just a moment. But we thank you for the good service with the Carpios, and Lord, thank you for letting us welcome them to our missions family. And then, Lord, we thank you for what you did Thursday night, Lord, in the camp meeting. Thank you for using the choir, and Lord, thank you for just the emphasis that was placed upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about anybody else, but my heart was so challenged on Thursday night. And I'm just so thankful, Lord, for what you did in my life personally. And then, Lord, thank you for blessing yesterday or Friday and yesterday down at the marriage seminar. And God, we're so excited about today. And so I pray that you'll come now. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you use Sunday school to teach us. And I also pray that you use Sunday school to prepare us for what you have for us in the remainder of the day. I pray that you'll bless in this service, the 11 o'clock service, and then, Lord, I pray that you would bless mightily in the service tonight. Father, we do think about all the hands that were lifted around the room this morning concerning needs. And Father, we pray that you would bless in those needs. Lord, probably without a doubt, some of those hands represent people that need to be saved. And Lord, some of our church family are so burdened about their lost loved ones. And God, we pray that you would save them. We pray that you'd open a door that we might be able to witness to them. And I pray they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray that you would bless those that are in need of physical healing today. Father, we are so thankful that you're the great physician. And I pray that you would heal those that are under the weather, those that are, Lord, fighting very serious things right now. We sure pray that you might heal them. Lord, just come now in mighty power. Meet with us in a great way. Direct the service, Holy Spirit. As we talked about Thursday night, we pray the Spirit of God, the wind of the Holy Ghost, would blow upon this place today and upon this people and even upon this pastor. And Lord, that Jesus would be lifted up and glorified. Father, we pray for our nation. She is desperate. She's desperate for Christ. She's desperate for a touch. And Lord, I pray that you would show our nation that we need the Lord. We desperately need the Lord. And then, Father, we pray for the peace of Israel today. And God, I pray that we would be ready for the coming of the Lord. May it be today. God, may it be before Sunday school's done. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, maybe this day would be October the 8th, 2023. Sure enough, would be the day of the coming of the Lord. And that we would hear the trumpet sound and the shout of the archangel. And that, Lord, you would catch us up into the air. God, may that be today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Bless our discussion this morning. And then, Lord, could we just mention a couple things before we end? Lord, number one, would you help us to lift up the name that's above every name today? God, I pray that Jesus will receive all the focus, the glory, the attention. I pray that, Lord, the light will be on him. And then, Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around this church. Father, I know, and I know our people know this too, Lord, Satan is at work. And God, he would love nothing more than to tear this church apart and other churches like this. And so, Father, we pray that you would protect us by your mighty hand, your almighty hand. And Lord, I pray that you would bind the powers of darkness, keep them away from this place. And Lord, I pray that your blessings would be here in a mighty way, a great way. And so, Lord, help us today, please. We love you, Lord. Bless our discussion this morning, please, from John chapter 11. And God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. Well, hey, let me mention something real quickly, if I could, today. We had the Carpios on Wednesday night, and weren't they a blessing to have the Carpios? And I know you saw this on the videos, but you know they're not doing a small work in the Philippines. They're doing a large work. I mean it's big. It's a big thing. Now, Brother Carpio, if you spend a little time with Brother Carpio, he didn't come across like that at all. But you know, here in the States, Brother Carpio would be a little bit more like a pastor that. Pastors a larger work over there. You know, I was talking. It really was almost accidentally. Brother Nunn and I, Brother Kevin Nunn and I were talking this week. Brother Carpio's name just came up. And he said, y'all having the Carpios. They're at Calvary. And I said, yeah, they're going to be with us. Going to be with us tonight. And he said, you know what? He said, they're great friends with our family. He said, when they come into the States, he said, they stay with my mom and dad. He said, they stay. Sometimes he said, when they're here in the States for a little while, he said, they'll actually stay in the basement with my mom and dad. Sometimes they'll stay for weeks with mom and dad. And he said, and this is what I picked up on, the whole time they're here, he said, they will not be still. He said, they're constantly mowing the yard, cleaning the house, He said they just feel like mom and dad tell them, listen, you're not here to do that. You don't have to do that. And he said, they just won't hear that at all. He said, so Brother Carpio was out there mowing the yard for mom and dad. And he said, they're cleaning the house and they're working in the yard and they're doing all kinds of things, you know, just to trying to earn their keep, I think is what really Kevin was saying. When he said that, I thought, I like these people even more now. And I thought, you know what, praise the Lord. I mean, that shows their servants, you know, their servant's spirit, their servant's attitude. And Brother Carpio and his dear wife definitely come across like that. But anyway, he mentioned on Wednesday night, he mentioned that he's trying to partner with 20 churches to reach $5,000 a church to try to go toward the Bible college. I was blown away by what they were showing concerning the Bible college. Over 100 graduates from the Bible college, and many of those, if not the major majority of those students, are going out and starting churches and planting churches all across the Philippine Islands. So anyway, Wednesday night, just in case you weren't here in the church, Wednesday night, the church voted to take the Carpios on for monthly support. And then we voted to just go ahead initially and to give them $2,000 toward that project. Well, the class, our class takes up a little offering, and our class has a little over $7,000 in our class fund. And so someone mentioned, "Preacher, why don't we, what do you think about, let's take $3,000 out of our class fund. Let's just go ahead and make that $5,000 that they're needing for the Bible college, and just go ahead and do it." And so I said, "Hey, I'm 100% for that. If the class wants to do that, I know some of you were so moved on Wednesday night. You came up and did something pretty special for Brother Carpio. There were several people who did. He told me that." And he said, "Preacher, I want the church to know. I want you to know." And he said, "I want the church to get credit for that." He said, "So we'll add all that together, not just what the church done, but we said we'll add with what some of your church members did." So I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And so, does anybody have a question about that? You're making a motion. All right, you're going to second that motion, Brother Timmy. All right, all in favor of that, say amen. All right, we'll do that then, and we'll try to make that extra $5,000. They were so blown away Wednesday night, and he came to me after the service and just, man, they were so appreciative and so grateful for everything that had been done there, and very serious, by the way. Wow, very serious about bringing us to the Philippines, and so I don't know about that part, but anyway. I said, "We'll pray about that, brother. We'll pray about that." And so he texted me the next day and said, "All right." He said, "I see you had a book in the bookstore on marriage." He said, "I want you to come to the Philippines. I want you to do a couples conference in the Philippines." And so I said, "Well, we'll pray about that, brother. We'll pray about that." And you have to be careful about traveling abroad nowadays. And we're seeing that. We're definitely seeing that on the news right now. So. Anyway, for those of you going to Israel in December, I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? Here's the thing. God has a perfect plan. And so don't be dismayed about that. God has a perfect plan. And I tell my kids all the time, they get tired of me saying this. I'll say, "Could be God's keeping you from something." And so now they joke about it. "Could be God's keeping us from something, Dad." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's true. God might be keeping you from something." So God might be keeping us from something. So we'll wait and see what happens about that. But take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 11. And we want to carry on with this series that we started last week called The Character of Christ. The Character of Christ. And so look at John 11 and verse number 32. With me today, John 11 and verse number 32. And we're going to read down through verse number 44, and we'll review just for a moment, then we'll give you some brand new content today. John 11, verse 32. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold how he loved him.' And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time together this morning. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through the lesson. And Lord, everything that I have pretty much to present to our folks today is very, very simplistic. But I pray, Heavenly Father, although it is simple, I pray that you'll use it. And I pray that Christ would be honored and pleased and glorified through all that's done. So direct us now in your word, please. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. And so last week we began by saying that in John chapter 11, and that's really what the Gospel of John is about. John sort of heralds the deity of Christ, that Christ is the Son of God, the triune God. We definitely see that in John chapter 11. We see the Lord's power. We see the Lord's ability. Sometimes when we'll have a new convert come to the Lord, we'll sometimes suggest to them that they start in the Gospel of John. That's a good spot for new Christians to start. Probably not necessarily in the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation. Both of those books are great books. And Revelation, you're promised a blessing if you read the book of Revelation. But typically when somebody gets born again, I'll say, listen, here's what you do. Do you have a Bible? And sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no. And so we give them a King James Bible. And I'll say, listen, why don't you do this? Why don't you think about starting in the Gospel of John? And the Gospel of John sort of talks about the life and the ministry of Jesus and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And one of the other good reasons to read the Gospel of John is because John talks about the deity of Christ. And we see that in John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ really is the resurrection. But also, one of the great things about the Gospel of John is that John exhibits the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we started with this point last week. We said that, first of all, here, let's see if my little thing's going to work here. Expose that antenna there, Brother Allen, if it's not exposed. And anyway, mine's not working, so just take me to that next slide there, if you will. One more. We see the love of Christ. Look at John chapter 11 and verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And we said last week that the Lord Jesus Christ had a way of making everybody feel like they were loved. We took a little time to talk about how all of the disciples felt like they were deeply cared about and cherished by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we took some time to show you how individual disciples felt that way. But each of those men felt a bond. They felt a specific bond with the Lord, and they went on to give their life for Christ. All those men, with the exception of John, were martyred for the cause of Christ. And John suffered incredible persecution for the Lord. We said that everybody we come in contact with ought to feel like we care about them, like they feel like we really genuinely love them. We also said that people don't care how much you know until first they know how much you care. It's one of the things I love about Calvary Baptist Church. And so we said we see the love of Jesus, but I'm going to give you some new content today. Number next is we see the long suffering of Christ. Not only the love of Christ, but about his character, we see the long suffering of Jesus. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at John 11, and look at verse number 7. John 11, verse 7. The Bible says, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, they're responding to what he just said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And so the Lord says, let's go unto Judea. And we're going to go to the town of Bethany. And the disciples said, whoa, Lord, wait a minute. Hang on, time out. You remember where that's at, don't you? And he's like, yes, of course I remember where that's at. Well, I want you to notice, though, the disciples not only sort of responded, but I want you to notice specifically Thomas's remark. Look, if you will, at verse number 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples. He didn't say this to the Lord. He said this unto his fellow disciples. Let us also go that we may die with him. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but that was a little bit of a snide remark. I mean, that was sort of sarcastic, which was sort of Thomas's character. That was sort of Thomas's. We call him Thomas the what? The doubter. Thomas the doubter. Thomas had a way about some of the words and some of his actions. And so we find here in John chapter 11 that Thomas, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, let's go to Judea, Thomas makes a very negative remark. Oh, well, we're all going to die now. I mean, basically, that's what he's saying. We're toast. I mean, we're all going to die now. I mean, if we're going over there, we're done for. You know, you might as well stick a fork in us. We're done. And so he makes this very, very negative remark. The point that I want to draw out to you this morning is that as Thomas makes this remark, we notice here that Jesus doesn't address it. Did y'all notice that? Now, how many believe this? How many believe he was aware of it? Is there anything he's not aware of? Again, don't forget, that's what John teaches. That's one of the things that John points out, is Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is the incarnation. He is divinity enrobed in human flesh. And we know that there's nothing that God doesn't know. There's not a word. You know, the Bible says we're going to be held accountable for those words, those idle words that we use. And so there's nothing that God doesn't know. He sees all. He hears all. And so we know this. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was aware of the remark that Thomas made. And yet we find that the Lord Jesus Christ does not address it. In fact, we learn here in John chapter 11 that there were times when people's actions and people's words were such that they groaned the Spirit of the Lord. Look, if you will, look at John chapter 11 and look at verse number 33. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned. Notice, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Skip down to verse number 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused it that even this man should not have died? Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. Now, again, groaning, he groaned. Now, we taught on this the other day at Miss Bobby's funeral, but you know, one of the reasons that Jesus groaned was because they're standing in the presence of the resurrection, acting like there was no resurrection. They're literally standing in the presence of the way, the truth, and the life, and they're acting like life is over. And it groaned him in his spirit. Now, and the Bible says Jesus wept. That's why Jesus wept. Now, wait a minute now. If you study that out, that word groaned and groaning in John chapter 11 also carries with it the idea of being frustrated. Studied out, frustrated. In other words, Jesus was so frustrated. He's thinking, man, have I been so long with you that you can't see these things? Don't you understand that I am the resurrection? Listen, there's not only a resurrection that's coming. I am the resurrection. Don't you know I broke up every funeral I've ever attended? Boy, death has a hard time dying when Jesus is around. Death has a hard time happening when the life is in it, when the life is there. And so Jesus is groaning. Jesus is frustrated. But here's what I want to bring your attention to, though. Although he is frustrated, he doesn't necessarily respond. And so I think we're learning a great lesson here. We're seeing the character of Christ, not only his love, but we're seeing his long suffering. Here's the lesson that we're learning, and this is so important. This is so simple, but this is so important. It's not necessary, it's not always necessary to respond to every negative comment. So Thomas makes this, I'm just going to tell you, Thomas makes this stupid remark. Jesus is very aware of it, but he doesn't respond to it. Now, take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. Hold your place. Put your bookmark or something right there at John 11. We're going to come back there in just a moment. But I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse number 1. Again, the thought being this, that Christ didn't even respond to Thomas's remark. And so it is with us. Church, you don't always have to respond to every negative remark that people make to you. When your husband makes a negative remark, you don't have to respond. When your wife makes a negative remark, I know your wife never does that, but when your wife makes a negative remark, you don't have to respond. There's not anything in a rule book somewhere that says, I have to say something. No, you don't. Now, and people say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You've already given way too much of your mind out. Like Mike Goodman says, you need to go back and gather up those pieces that you've given out. Amen? And so you don't always have to. You know, when people say things at work, when folks say things at church, you don't always have to reply. I had a guy come to me yesterday at the marriage seminar, and interesting because we were down in rural Hall, North Carolina, and this guy came up and introduced himself, and he said, "Man, I'm from Union Grove," and he said, "I used to live in Union Grove." And he was telling me about some things, and he told me about they were having some issues with his mother-in-law. And he said, "How do you handle that? What do you do? She's trying to interfere." And he said, "What do you do?" And I told this gentleman, I said, "Listen," and I told him several things, but I said, "Listen," I said, "always remember this. What would Jesus do?" You know, before you respond, think about this. How would Jesus respond? And so if we stop, Colossians chapter 4 says that we're to season our words with salt before we respond. And if we would stop and say, okay, wait a minute now, before I say something that I'm going to regret, before I just react to this thing that's just been said to me, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? And so interesting truth here. Thomas just is the kind of guy that just sort of blurts things out. He does that to the disciples. It's definitely not going to encourage them. It's definitely not going to edify them. And he says, well, I guess we're all going to die now. And Jesus is aware of it, but he does not respond to that statement. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and this is Paul speaking of the church of Ephesus, and he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." In other words, you and I are to live like Jesus. WWJD, we're to do what Jesus would do. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Notice these words. And then he says, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Now, what does that mean? In simple terms, that word forbearing, you know what it means? It means to endure. Endure. It means put up with. You don't want to. But it means there are times. Now, are there times when you have to address things? Yes. But there are times in the Christian life when you and I are to forbear. There are times when you and I are to endure. Although Jesus Christ was frustrated, he didn't necessarily address this issue with Thomas. Now, somebody says, okay, preacher, but why? Why should I put up with it? Why should I put up with what they said? Well, it answers that. Now let's go back and read verse 2 again. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring one another in love. Verse 3, why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Peace. Listen. Maybe one of these days you'll get a deep, deep preacher. But you don't have one right now. You know what? We would keep a lot more peace around the home if we would just forbear. You said, preacher, my wife said something stupid. Okay, endure. Endure tribulation, fellas. All right, amen. Or my husband said something and he shouldn't have said it. I get it. But you don't have to respond to everything your husband says. You don't have to respond to every time a church member says something out of the way. Well, they shouldn't have said it. Okay. That's a news flash right there. Thank you for sharing that. No, they shouldn't have said it. No, they shouldn't have done it. Okay. But just because they did it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, just because somebody gives us a negative remark doesn't mean we have to come back with another negative remark. Well, you say, okay, but that wasn't right. And they said this, and what happens if I don't address it? Well, I wonder if there's a God in heaven that can take care of that. Turn over a few pages. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse number 10. And you know what? 1 Peter 3, I might preach on this a little bit later on. 1 Peter chapter 3, in my opinion, is really a recipe for just living a great life. That's what 1 Peter 3 talks about, at least part of it, 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's interesting as well because 1 Peter chapter 3, the first part of the chapter deals with marriage, and this is not a marriage lesson this morning, but it is interesting that 1 Peter 3, the first part deals with marriage. But then Peter goes on to talk about some things that just make for a good life. 1 Peter 3, verse 10, Peter says, for he that will love life and see good days. How many want to love life and see good days? Yeah, okay. Well, what do you have to do to love life and see good days? Well, I'm so glad the Bible answers that for us. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from what? From evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek, what's that word? Man, that's interesting. We were just talking about that. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Man, be consumed with it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so, again, the idea being this, we definitely see the long-suffering of Jesus here. Jesus was aware of what Thomas said. Jesus could have came back with a remark, but Jesus did not do that. He did not respond. He could have. He would have been justified to rebuke Thomas, but he just, you know, for some reason there in the scripture, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ just didn't even address it. He was frustrated by their actions, by their words, but he didn't even address it. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Man, that is so good, isn't it? A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. In other words, the thought of, before I say something, I'm going to think. I'm going to think this through. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to ask the Lord to, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Give me the words of Christ. I don't want to just say something. Man, I want to make sure that I do what Jesus would do. So we see the love of Christ. We see the long suffering of Christ. Let me end with this last one here. Number 3, we see the limitless dedication of Christ. Now, flip back over to John 11 again. John 11, interesting. John 11, look at verse 17. We see the love of Jesus. We see the long-suffering of Jesus. But we see the limitless dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 11, verse 17. The Bible says, then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now look at verse 18. Now Bethany, that's where Lazarus lived. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, if you read that, if you don't read that in its context, it can be a little confusing. And it almost sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ is coming from Jerusalem and he's traveling to Bethany where Lazarus is. But that's not what the Bible's telling us at all. Jesus didn't travel from Bethany to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled from a place called Betharbara. And so the Bible's telling us this, that Bethany was basically less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Now, why is that significant? Because they had just come from Jerusalem not long ago, and Jerusalem had become very, very hostile toward Jesus Christ. And there were some people there in Jerusalem who wanted to kill the Lord. That's why Thomas said what he said. Well, let us die with him. I mean, they've already tried to kill him one time there, and now we're going back. That's what it's saying. We're going back there. And not only were they going back to Bethany, which was very close to Jerusalem, but the Bible tells us there was going to be a large crowd here that were comforting Mary and Martha. And so there was a very good likelihood that some of those folks that were very hostile to Jesus are going to be present in this crowd. And so the disciples are saying, Lord, you understand what you're saying? We're going right back to this danger zone. And so I think one of the things we see here is we see the dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ. Danger or no danger, Jesus is determined to do the will of God. Look back at it, John 11, verse 9. And so they're saying, Lord, come on now, are you sure? Are you sure about this? In John 11, verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In other words, guys, listen, we've come here to do the will of God. We've come here to do the will of our Father. And so, listen, danger or not, we're going. Danger or not, the important thing is here is not are we in danger. The important thing is God going to be glorified? Are we doing the will of God? You know, wouldn't it be a great day if all of us just decided I'm going to be dedicated to Christ and you know what? Nothing else matters. Popularity doesn't matter. What people say doesn't matter. What people think about us doesn't matter. I'm going to sell out to the cause of Christ. I'm going to be dedicated to Christ. And I really believe that's what we're seeing here in John chapter 11. The disciples said, Lord, come on. We just came from that area and they tried to kill you. And then Thomas doesn't make this remark to the Lord. He makes it to the disciples. Well, we're all going to die now, I guess. And Jesus says, hey, guys, come on, get it together. The important thing here is that we do the will of the Father. The important thing here is that we're dedicated to the cause of Christ. And don't worry about anything else. Seek ye first. God will take care of the rest. And it would be a great day if we decided, you know, I'm going to be dedicated to the Lord. I thought about David Livingstone, the great missionary there to the country of Africa. They said that David Livingstone walked over 29,000 miles in his ministry. That early in his ministry, David Livingstone, his wife perished. She died. That he was half blind and later was mauled by a lion. That one side of his body was somewhat limp and paralyzed because of being mauled by that lion. But listen to what David Livingstone said in his diary. Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. Boy, dedication. And I thought about men like Jim Elliot. How many remember many, many years ago, back in the 50s, there were some young men who went to South America, there to the Amazon jungle, and they were going to try to reach the Aka Indians. And those young men tried their best to make contact with those Aka Indians, and ended up, all of them were martyred for the cause of Christ. But listen to what Jim Elliot wrote. He said, "Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me." And Jim Elliot went on to write these words: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Wow. Dedication. And so John chapter 11, man, what a great chapter this is. And so may we live like our Savior. Hey, listen, thank you for being in our class this morning. Good crowd, and we appreciate you coming. We're going to give you a little bit of a break, and so go out and fellowship, and let's make sure we welcome all of our visitors in today. But it's great to have you here for Sunday school. Thank you for being a part of the class this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for letting us be at Calvary today. Oh, God, I pray that you would shelter us in your love and protection. Heavenly Father, the best that we know how, we plead the blood of Jesus over this day and over this ministry. And God, I pray you'd give us a wonderful day, a great day of ministry. Father, we're so thankful for the young lady that came to Christ last Sunday. Lord, I pray that this day maybe there would be others that would come to know the Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that like David Livingston, we would sell out. I pray that, Lord, like men like Jim Elliot, Father, that we would sell out. And Lord, mainly like our Lord, Father, that we would be totally dedicated to the cause of Christ. And I pray that nothing would keep us from serving him and accomplishing great things for him. Lord, bless our time of fellowship now. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would come in mighty power and meet with us in the 11 o'clock service today. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.